Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Search Update.
Eric Bieniemy, Leslie Frazier, they're meeting on Sunday in the AFC Championship game. Those two guys appear to be the top two remaining candidates for the Texans head coaching job. Texans are the lone organization that need a head coach. All signs point to those two guys. Jim Caldwell believed to be in the mix. Is that where we sit, John? Because it's a very fluid process. It's still playing out. Do you think that's where we still sit, is those two guys?
I would say my preference is Eric Bieniemy 1, Matt Eberflus 2, Leslie Frazier 3, Jim Caldwell 4, of the ones who have been most mentioned. All right, so we've heard that it's down to Bieniemy, Frazier, and Caldwell. We have also heard that it's really the top two of Frazier and Bieniemy. I think they prefer Bieniemy, but it might be a hard sell. And that's not, like,
sell from who? That's the problem I have here. Hard sell for who?
That's where I'm going.
Because, and who is they?
Here we go. Let me lay it out for you.
Lay it out. I need it. Right?
I think Deshaun Watson probably would prefer Eric Bieniemy, just a hunch, just from reading the tea leaves here. I think that the Texans know that. I think they know Eric Bieniemy could go a long way toward righting the ship here, and pretty good PR. You know, I think a lot of fans would hop back on board if Bieniemy, because he's just kind of one of the guys that are getting a lot of buzz, and he's got a commanding presence. The hard sell for me, I think, is on both sides. I think from the Texans' perspective, they have to sell, even as badly as Eric Bieniemy deserves and wants a job, I still think they got to kind of sell him. And the reason is, money's not going to be an object. They're going to pay whoever they hire. I can tell you that flat out. It's like Monopoly money for Cal McNair. You know, he doesn't really, it's not going to matter to him, okay? So it's not the money. I think they have to sell Eric Bieniemy on, we are going to be stable. We are going to control Jack Easterby. We are going to have Deshaun Watson. Those are three huge unknowns right now. First of all, I don't know if they're ever going to be stable. We know Jack Easterby isn't going anywhere. So there's two strikes against them right now. And then the big one, Eric Bieniemy might be telling himself, I can put up with that stuff. I'll stiff arm Jack Easterby. I'll tell him to get lost, walk out of the room. And I think he would. But I can't do anything with this roster and no Deshaun Watson. So from the Texans' perspective, they have to sell, whether it's Bieniemy or Frazier is their first choice. I think it's Bieniemy. They have to sell him on that. From Bieniemy's standpoint, he kind of has to sell the Texans on, and I don't think this is unfair. We've all kind of come to this point. I'm not like a guy that you don't want in your building. You know, I think a lot of people will believe he doesn't really fit the Easterby culture. For whatever reason.
That better not be a factor. I don't give a rat's ass about the Easterby culture.
But you know it is. How can you say it's not? We all know it is. I mean, you went at it with John McClain yesterday because they told us it is, you know? There's a little bit of a sales job on both sides. That's where we are right now.
I just don't want to hear they. I think it should be he.
I meant they, Bieniemy, and they, the Texans, but it should be a he.
Nick Caserio should be able to say, I want to hire this guy. Here we go. I'll trust whatever decision Nick Caserio makes. If it's 100% Nick Caserio's decision, if he doesn't want to bring Eric Bieniemy in, I can co-sign it. But if we start talking about Day, and we start talking about what Cal wants and what Jack Easterby wants, I can't get down with that. And that's not the situation that we wanted. We didn't want the Texans to hire a real general manager so that he would have to run something by Cal McNair and Jack Easterby. I trust Caserio, and I'm confident and I'm hopeful that the coaching decision will be Nick Caserio's. I want the Texans to hire a coach. I want Nick Caserio to go up there to the podium, and I want him to tell me why this is the right guy.
Yeah.
I don't want Cal going up there and saying it. I want Cal to just let these guys handle their business, and Cal can do his thing. And I don't think Cal really wants to meddle. That's the thing. It's crazy that it's gotten to the point it has with all these headlines and stuff, and I think you have to take them with a grain of salt. But I don't want Cal to sell me on the coach. I want the new guy in the building who's actually a legit football guy mm-hmm. to sell me on the coach. Cal McNair doesn't need to sell me anything on this. Nothing.
I want the same thing you do.
Here comes a butt. I know you. Go ahead.
But
go
here
ahead.
But here we are. That's just not the case. You know, what we want and what we have are entirely two different things. You know, Jack Easterby is in. He's influencing people on both the business and football sides. You can interpret influence however you want, but he is. And so here we are. You know what I mean? So it's going to have to be a sales job on both sides. It's going to have to be kind of Easterby friendly. And one thing you said that's interesting is, you know, Cal McNair doesn't want to be out there. He doesn't want to have to. I think that's the whole reason that we have the Easterby problem. You know, if Cal McNair was more of a guy that took charge and said, no, I got this. You know, they're complaining about Sam Kahn the guy in Jacksonville. Shad Khan in Jacksonville, because he's like so involved and so headstrong. Man, we could use a little bit of that down here from the owner. And then that might eliminate Jack Easterby.
Or he could just pick the right guy to trust to do it.
Right.
The right guy to oversee football operations.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jack Easterby is that guy. Maybe Jack Easterby just stays out of personnel and he is that guy. I have my doubts.
What makes you say that?
Well, I mean, especially when John McClain comes on yesterday and says there was a power struggle with Jamie Roots. Like, what are you trying to do? Are you just trying to control everything? Are you keeping your eyes on your own paper? Because I think that's important in an organization. I think keeping your eyes on your own paper, knowing what you bring, knowing what your value is, and not negatively impacting other stuff, I think that's important. So when John McClain says that, makes you raise the eyebrows a little bit. I got sad yesterday.
How come? Don't be sad.
I just got sad because, you know, we're talking about this head coaching search, and everybody else is hiring a coach. Press conferences are being had, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching Robert Saleh. He was the dream scenario for us. Didn't even get interviewed by the Texans. Only team that didn't interview Robert Saleh was your Houston Texans. I'm watching this Jets press conference, and I'm just like, man, that could have been us, dude. That could have been us. I went Billy Ray Cyrus. I went early 90s, mullets, Miley's dad, Billy Ray Cyrus, crying, eating ice cream, weeping, and mourning as I watched Robert Saleh get introduced to the New York media type.
Could have been me, and my dreams come in too, but those dreams move on if you wait too long.
Robert!
Now to see.
Oh my gosh.
Could have been me, could have been me, could have been me.
We could have had a vision, John. We could have had a vision here in Houston, a direction with Robert Saleh. The defense would be fixed. We would have Mike McDaniel, the pass game coordinator from the San Francisco 49ers, calling plays. We would have dipped in to the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree. That could have been us, and we could have had a press conference like this, which is something we've needed in such a long time. It's been such a long time since we've had a good press conference from someone that is a leader in that building. We've had King Bill, we've had Romeo, we've had Cal, we've had Easterby. We could have had this. This could have been us.
Get used to the mantra, all gas, no break. We're not talking about effort on the field. We're talking about the process at which we do things. We're talking about the way we prepare, the way we wake up every single morning, the way we rehab, the way we communicate, the way we speak to one another.
Speak.
Everyone says it's a business. I get it, but it's not. This is a personal investment to people. The most important people are the ones who strap up on game day and step between the lines. Can you help them make plays on Sundays so they can get paid as much as possible? And that is going to be the goal of this entire organization. There's no doubt this is home. There is no doubt in my mind. It's like talking to family, and so I'm humbled that they allowed me into their circle. It will take time, but everything we do is going to be designed to win championships in the future.
Okay.
Go to bed better than when you woke up. That's the mindset we're going to have. And again, we are very confident that's going to lead to championships.
Listen to that. That could have been us. Didn't even talk to the guy. We didn't even want to talk to that. Lewis Riddick called him the prime candidate.
Everyone did.
Everyone called this guy the prime candidate. It's not like he went to the effing New England Patriots 5 years ago. He went to the Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets.
Remember when we were rating the best openings? That tells you something right
the
there.
The Jets.
Tells you something right there. Now I get, you know, number two pick, all that stuff.
He didn't get Trevor Lawrence in the number one overall pick. He didn't go to Los Angeles and get Justin Herbert. He didn't go to Philadelphia and take over a team that had won a Super Bowl for the last 3 years. He went to the Jets.
He sure did.
That hurt.
Of course it hurt. And I'm listening to him and I'm thinking, how would that kind of personality, you know, land in this city?
Come on.
I mean, it would be.
Come on.
After what we just had?
Come on. I'd shave my head. I would have shaved my head. I probably would have.
Sean would too.
I would have shaved my head to look like Sean just for Robert Saleh. And I would have, before games, because he runs the steps before games, I would have ran the steps with him.
Oh, that's right. He does every game.
Damn right he does.
Yeah.
I felt terrible watching Robert Saleh because he ended up with the freaking Jets and we never even tried to bring him here to Houston. Don't get why not.
The funniest thing about him is you know, he's been all over the league. It's no surprise that he, you know, that he was one of the top candidates. And he's been here. I mean, he's been around the Houston Texans. I mean, a lot.
With Kubiak.
Yeah. And not even get an interview?
Nope. Did not. That one hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think a bullet was dodged. Because there's a guy that went to your alma mater, Dan Campbell.
This guy is a winner.
By way of Texas A&M.
Winner.
And as the podium critic, I watch pretty much every press conference that there is.
Give him an A or an A+.
This was an F.
Come on.
Especially the Q&A. I didn't even pull the Q&A because it was embarrassing, the Q&A. But all you need to hear from this goofball is his introduction to the city of Detroit. This is Dan Campbell.
Prepare to run through a wall.
This is the anti-Robert Saleh.
This place has been kicked, it's been battered, it's been bruised, and I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't, none of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that. So excuse my language. All right. Here's what I do know is that
you're a loser,
this
man.
Team is going to take on the identity of this city. All right. And the city's been down, and it found a way to get up. All right. It's found a way to overcome adversity. All right. And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock.
You're not being serious right now, right?
100% serious.
You really think this is good?
This is great.
All right.
Knock us down. We're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take.
Bite a kneecap off?
Damn right.
That's ridiculous.
How?
Dude, you're messing with me. There's
take
no
two
way
more shots
messing.
To knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality.
How are you not inspired by that?
John, you're not serious. Like, you're really not serious on this.
I'm dead serious.
You're 100% not serious on this.
I am 100% serious.
No, you're not.
I am.
There's 0% chance.
100% chance.
You really? So
that's impressive.
So if that would have been with the Texans and he would have done that, you would have said, oh, yeah, this is the guy?
Sign me up.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I would remove my kid from peewee football if that guy sat up there and gave that speech.
Really?
That was pathetic.
That was awesome.
And the Q&A was even worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Q&A was even worse. Detroit should be ashamed of themselves.
Well, they already are.
They would ask it. They would ask like a question. Like he'd just be stumbling around. Embarrassing.
That's a winner right there.
Embarrassing.
I'm serious.
Embarrassing.
I think Detroit's finally got it right.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, you don't.
What's their record for the year?
Oh, it'll take 3 years before they can get to the championship.
They'll probably go like 5-11.
They'll be in the
NFC. They'll be gone by two.
If they keep Stafford.
They'll be in the championship game in 3 or 4 years.
That guy is a goofball. Absolute goofball. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Let's go to New York. You want to go to New York?
Sure.
Some people think Deshaun Watson wants to go to New York. People are actually pushing Deshaun Watson to New York. And the most hated weasel in Houston has a beef with one of the faces of New York. You don't want to miss this. Get your popcorn ready. Hate on hate and Deshaun to New York next.
I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Two of Houston's most hated are fighting it out. It's intriguing. It's a very entertaining beef.
Yeah?
Very entertaining. We'll provide it to you in just a sec. But before we do, it does seem like people want Deshaun Watson in New York. Not everybody, but certain people want Deshaun Watson in New York. Here was Richard Sherman on the Chris Collinsworth, Richard Sherman podcast, talking about the ideal destination for the quarterback of your Houston Texans.
If I was Deshaun, I'd get out of there as quickly as possible. I'd head to New York. The first thing smoking, the Jets. It would be the most beautiful. Decent offensive line. They'd have to find threats. They'd have to find some offensive weapons. But I think there would be a lot more people excited to be there. That's what I would do. I would be out of there on the first thing smoking.
Look, Richard Sherman, you know, obviously quite familiar with the league, quite familiar with the buzz around the league. I always call it a sewing circle. He's in on it as much as anybody. He's very involved. He knows what this roster looks like. He probably knows the real story on Deshaun Watson's frustration, how much there is, how legitimate it is, and whether he's actually considering, you know, wanting to play here. So I don't completely dispel Richard when Richard Sherman talks. I know he's kind of a polarizing guy, but I don't completely dispel when he's talking football right here and the possibilities with Deshaun Watson.
I think it's the ideal trade for both parties if you're going to make the trade. Again, we don't want Deshaun Watson to be traded, but if you are going to get the number two overall pick from the Jets and they have four first round picks, and Sam Darnold, who you could maybe throw in, it is ideal. And if you're Deshaun Watson, who appears to want to expand the brand, and we call him Hollywood Deshaun, does seem like he wants to flex a little bit and do other things, what better place than New York than the Big Apple? So it would make the most sense if the Texans were forced to do that. And I think it would be a place where Deshaun Watson, with the no trade clause, would probably consider going, especially with Robert Saleh there, who he likes.
And from a Jets perspective, like let's say you're in management or on the football side of the operation, you've got to be seeing, you know, last year the Texans obviously had J.J. Watt and a little better running game and a little better team, but their roster wasn't like miles ahead of what the roster was this time, and they got to the AFC Championship game. This year they went 4-12 because they were even worse around Deshaun Watson. But he was the leading passer in the NFL. So from a Jets perspective, you got to be going, man, this guy can do that with that team. If we just get him a few, you know, with the draft picks they have a lot, and I know they would have to give up a lot to get Deshaun, but with the draft picks they have and a new coach in Saleh, a defensive-minded coach, they might be thinking, man, it's well worth it. Well, everybody's thinking it's worth it, but I'm saying the Jets could get there a lot quicker than anybody would expect.
I wonder if Robert Saleh would want to make that trade. And I know that Deshaun is good. I know you look at this, but, I mean, you do have the number two overall pick. I think it is somewhat of a process. I do think that having those four first-round picks, while it excites a lot of Texans fans who wouldn't mind seeing Nick Caserio with full drafts, I wonder if the Jets would even want to make that move. Let's say four first round picks, including the number two or whatever they wanted to do. Would the Jets even want to make a move like that? Because, and I heard Seth bring this up this morning on Payne and Pendergast, we've seen what a team with just Deshaun Watson and really not much else on the field has done. Is that something that Robert Saleh, a defensive guy, would really even want to do?
First, I think they'd want it on both, on two levels. I think Robert Saleh would want it. I don't know about the general manager, but I think Robert Saleh would want it because he wants to win. He wants to win immediately. I know he would have confidence in the draft pick, but no certainties. And from a management and ownership perspective, I'm not talking about the GM and management. I'm talking about ownership and business side, et cetera. Jets, Knicks, Giants, Yankees, Rangers, Mets. I mean, how many professionals, Islanders, how many professional, Nets, how many professional sports teams are in New York? Those teams are in such rivalry with each other to get the back page of those Daily News and the Post. New York is a different animal, man. You have to fight to grab headlines. Deshaun Watson would put you on that back page just about every day, and that you cannot underestimate that.
And that's not the cross your fingers and hope Sam Darnold becomes this or hope Mark Sanchez becomes this. That's the sure thing. And they flirted. The one thing about the Jets, and it's obviously a different regime, but they flirted with trying to take quarterbacks and make them into stars. Sanchez, yeah. Sam Darnold, it hasn't
worked
out.
But he would be it.
He is it.
They would dominate the back page.
He's the guy.
Every day.
He would be the guy.
And so from an ownership perspective, if someone comes up to you and says, hey, we're thinking about giving up or trying to give up a whole lot for Deshaun Watson, the owner would waste 3 seconds. Sure, do it. I mean, it's a competition in New York. Like, I mean, seven professional teams.
And we don't want it to happen, but if it did, yeah. I think New York would be something to keep an eye on. Speaking of New York, there is some beef in New York that I find amusing as somebody who loves the Houston Astros, specifically the most recent run in Astros history. Jeff Passan of ESPN, I thought it was good reporting, but it got a little bit petty with Jeff Passan, and I thought it got pretty unprofessional when it came to the Houston Astros. And Jeff Passan now finds himself in a beef with one of the most polarizing guys in all of New York, Craig Carton, out there at WFAN, which I don't think that's a beef that too many people want to be in, because Craig Carton can talk. He can talk a lot of smack, and I don't think Jeff Passan is really built like that. It all stems from the report earlier this week that Mets GM Jared Porter was fired by the Mets for sending message after message after message, damn near 60-plus text messages to a woman, a foreign correspondent who had moved to the United States to cover baseball. He sent pics that you probably shouldn't send.
Probably.
Rarely got any responses, and eventually he was fired. Mina Kimes is the one who actually reported the story, but Jeff Passan has also, you know, joined Mina Kimes, and he's kind of making the rounds talking about this. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is this goes back to 2017 when Porter started sending the messages. But Jeff Passan on December 12th of 2020 was recommending Porter on Twitter for the Mets job. Said he had a real feel of New York and he would be perfect for the Mets job, which led to Craig Carton basically questioning Jeff Passan and saying, if you knew about this and recommended it, then you're a slime ball. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't know about it and now you're trying to be the face of this report, you're minimizing a woman and her reporting in Mina Kimes, and you're still a weasel.
Yeah.
Here is Jeff Passan on the other station in New York, ESPN New York, getting a little bit angry at Craig Carton.
Jeff, how you doing?
Michael, can I get a couple things out of the way off top here?
Yes.
There's another radio station in New York that's been pretty damn irresponsible today about its coverage of this. And I hate giving them any shine because they don't deserve it. But the notion that ESPN has been sitting on this story since 2017 is the most giant load of irresponsible garbage that I've heard in a long time. The story waits for when the person whose it is ready to tell it. And so the idea that this story 4.5 years later after this incident happened has any less resonance, has any less importance, and has any less right to be told, anybody who thinks that needs to shut up.
Okay, so wow, Jeff Passan telling
gauntlet thrown,
telling Greg Carton to shut up. Mm-hmm. You know where this is going.
Yes, I do.
Know very well.
Yes, I do.
Where this is going. So the word got back to Craig Carton, who again, he's just saying, if you're not the one who reported the story, why are you going out trying to be the face?
Yeah.
Especially when about a month ago you were recommending this guy for the job to the New York Mets publicly, saying he was perfect for New York. What gives? That's not the way Craig Carton said it, though. And that's not usually the way he says things. So here is Craig Carton on WFAN talking about Jeff Passan, who's very hated around here because
yeah,
he got really petty with the way he was reporting the Astros information. Very, very petty. Craig Carton, not a fan, much like most of Houston, of Jeff Passan.
Worry about guys getting traded and how much their contracts are for. And stop trying to pretend that you're out here to save the world and make the workplace safer for women. This is what Jeffrey Passan did. He failed every single woman that works for the New York Met organization. You're a whiny weasel who completely misrepresented what Evan and I said. Completely misrepresented it. The Blue Jays got George Springer. You made this story about you. And now making the rounds like you're the big hero. No, you're not. What's even your story? You're the guy that recommended Jared Porter for the Met job. Your words, not mine. And then you steal credit for the story? It was no longer Mina Kimes' story. It became the Weasel story. We're the worldwide leader in breaking stories. It was no longer about what Jared Porter did to this poor woman. It was about you, because you're a weasel. A big, fat weasel.
Man. Yeah, he ain't going to win that. Jeff Passan didn't go.
Whose side are you on this, by the way? How do you feel about when someone breaks a story and then a guy who's the head reporter kind of just latches onto it?
I've felt my entire career this is old school.
It's not like Mina Kimes isn't a big name either.
Exactly. But you never make yourself part of the story, if at all possible. Sometimes it's impossible.
And if you didn't know about it, then you damn sure don't. Because you were recommending the guy December 12th, and now all of a sudden you're going around, this is just the worst thing ever. It's not your story. It's Mina Kimes. Mina Kimes is awesome on TV. I think Mina Kimes is great.
Yeah.
She can handle this herself, but Jeff Passan's just kind of latching on. He's trying to be like the Hall and Mighty voice. I actually kind of side with Craig Carton on this.
I do too. No, I do too. You don't do that. He knows better. I don't know why he's doing it now. First of all, a little bit shady stuff going on with him. And why are you you're trying to change the focus from what really should be talked about here. And it's what he did multiple times. I mean, he was sending the big pick.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how big, but he was sending that pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Serious. Craig Carton.
I never think, do that, by the way.
I think he's right. Yeah.
Like, when is it appropriate? Never. Ever. Ever.
Okay.
Have you?
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio.
Well, all right.
610. Let's get a little think tank. Championship think tank. 713-572-4610. Think tank. It is a stacked championship weekend. Is Buffalo winning the Super Bowl a heartwarming story, but the most heartbreaking possibility in Houston? The answer is yes. We'll tell you why next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hoppadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Do the Chiefs have a chance if Patrick Mahomes doesn't play? Here's Tyreek Hill with Sweet Karen, Sweet Kansas City Karen, talking about that very thing.
Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, Tyreek. You're awesome.
Hey, you're awesome.
I wanted to just ask you, I mean, in that game, that fourth down play, you guys stepped up. So is that the attitude that whether Patrick can play this week or not, whether he's 100% or not, you can still get to where you want to go?
I mean, the goal is to have Patrick, but I really don't know. I mean, if Chad come in the game and, you know, he's feeling like awkward or something like that, then like, who knows, man? If he is in there, you know, we still don't compete, you know?
Not very confident
He's got a good personality.
And quite honestly, I don't know that it matters. I'm starting to really feel Buffalo in this game. I really am. I think we need to look at the foot of Patrick Mahomes, not necessarily the head. He's going to be on the field. It's just a matter of if he's hobbling around like he was against the Browns aren't the Bills. Browns are a good football team. They're not the Bills. They're just not. They don't have the talent. If he's hobbling around like that, I think this Buffalo team, who's only a 3-point underdog, I think this Buffalo team's got a shot, and they got a very good shot. Browns were a 10-point underdog. This is a 3-point underdog in a team that's coming in very, very hot.
I agree. And for the record, again today, obviously not a full practice on a Friday, but a lot of guys, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was at practice today participating. So was Patrick Mahomes, full go. Again, no shoulder pads, but he's going to play. I still think even at 100%, and you've brought up a good point. He's got something going on with his ankle as well, but I think even at 100%, the Bills would have a chance. They're just put together well. I put a lot of stock in, you know, the hotter team, and I think the best team is the Kansas City Chiefs. The hotter team is the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I think Kansas City has by far the most talent. I just think Buffalo just has that feel, and I think Buffalo has. They might have a better coaching staff. I think the Kansas City has a very
bold
good
statement.
Kansas City has a good coaching staff, but you look at Buffalo. Leslie Frazier, who's in the running for the Texans' head coaching job. Brian Daboll. A lot of people were talking about him being a head coach. Mm-hmm. So you have an offensive guy who's a head coaching candidate, a defensive guy. I think Sean McDermott's one of the underrated guys. He's an Andy Reid guy. Buffalo's got a hell of a coaching staff now. Obviously, offensively, it doesn't get better than what they got in Kansas City, including Eric Bieniemy, Andy Reid, and others.
Right.
But I don't know that Steve Spagnuolo is as good as Leslie Frazier. I think the coaching staffs are – it doesn't get much better than this when it comes
to just
balanced coaching staffs.
There's a reason they're here and they're playing as well as they are. And it's not just the players. I mean, you got to get these guys in the right spots, and that's why these guys are up for jobs.
And it's crazy that these are the two Texans playoff opponents last year.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo was kicking your ass in the first half, and Deshaun Watson, you know, saved B.O.B.'s butt, maybe even saved his job. And Deshaun Watson went out there and did his thing against the Bills. And then you go to Kansas City, special teams, big part of why the Texans got off to the 24-0 lead, and the Texans blow the 24-0 lead, and Kansas City moves on. And we keep hearing about how close they were and what happened with the Texans. And here the Texans are 4-12. Kansas City's right back where they were. And the team that the Texans beat, the Buffalo Bills, while the Texans decided they were going to trade their number one receiver in DeAndre Hopkins and let DJ Reader go, Buffalo decided they were going to trade for a number one receiver in Stephon Diggs, who's first team all pro. And the two teams basically flopped. I don't think the Texans' roster is as balanced as the Bills, but it is interesting, if we're just looking on the offensive side of things, that the Texans traded their number one, Buffalo traded
and
four,
fell apart.
And the Texans fell apart. And you also look at Buffalo's second-team All-Pro, Cole Beasley, I think it was 4 years, 28, or something like that, four years, 29. Randall Cobb signed for 3 years, 28. So just the way in which that they've managed the wide receiver position, the way in which they've built a roster, that's why Buffalo is here and the Texans are at home.
We've talked about how bad, one of the worst in the NFL history, with the DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, if they win the Super Bowl, I mean, Stephon Diggs is just a 100-yard machine. He's a 9, 10 catch, 100-yard machine. That's going to go down as one of the best. If you win a Super Bowl and that trade has that much to do with it, I mean, that's the whole reason you play the game. And you made a deal like that to get you over the top? It's pretty dang impressive.
You have Cole Beasley hobbled, so we don't know how he's going to look out there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we thought he was going to miss the entire season. He could be on the field for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Practice today.
But the most important guy is Patrick Mahomes, and we keep hearing about it, concussion protocol, all that. The foot is what we need to look out for. Is he going to be limping around? Because he was limping like crazy against the Cleveland Browns. I think that is going to be the absolute key. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. I mean, a year ago, again, these were the two Texans playoff opponents. What drives me, has been driving me nuts when we talk about last year's Houston Texans is, and I've heard Cal McNair say it, I've heard John McClain say it, this notion that because the games were close this year and they had this many one-possession games, that the Texans really aren't that far off. Most NFL games are close. Like, if you look at the betting line, if you go to Las Vegas and you pick up a betting sheet or you go to your gambling site, very rarely is there going to be even a double possession underdog in the NFL. NFL games are close. This isn't college football. So this sales pitch that, you know, they were this close in this many games, I hate it.
I do too.
I absolutely hate it. I hate it as much as I did when coming into this season we were saying, well, they were up 24-0 on the Super Bowl champs. That means they're close. It's almost like you're doing the same thing, but you're doing it in the kiddie pool instead of in the 10-foot deep area. I hate it.
Well, the other thing, the thing I hate,
God,
the,
I hate
the
it.
Thing I hate the most about it is no one was saying last year when I believe they were, was it 7-2 in one possession games or something like that? Nobody was saying, boy, we were lucky. We shouldn't be this good. We have no right being in the playoffs. We were 7-2 in one possession games. How come nobody was talking about it then when it works in your favor? It all finds its level.
It's
water
ridiculous.
Finds its level.
It's so ridiculous. Yeah. The whole they were this close in this many games and they were up 24-0 last mm-hmm. year. It's silly. There's a lot of teams in the NFL that could say that. We've got to stop saying that. I just can't hear that anymore.
I agree.
It's nuts. That's not a good sales pitch. And if you think you were so close, why even fire the coach? If you think you're that close and you're not that far off, why even fire the coach?
It was just bad luck.
If that's your belief. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. Let's fire up the think tank. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. 2 days away from the best Sunday of the year in the NFL, Championship Sunday, right here on Sports Radio 610. We both agree. I think I talked you into it. Buffalo winning is the worst-case scenario because they get the monkey off their back.
Yeah.
You have a hungry Chiefs team. And you just have two young quarterbacks that know what it takes and the mental grind and everything that it takes to get a Super Bowl. So Buffalo is the nightmare.
You did. And they're going to be free and easy and have that weight off their shoulders. And oh, by the way, Josh Allen is younger than Deshaun Watson. He's 24.
713-572-4610. World famous in the Loop Think Tank. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Start your statement with, I think that. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think the Houston fans are the biggest hypocrite fans in all sports. They dog Harden because he didn't solely win the championship by himself, but Watson can throw these little Nerf interceptions and get sacked and lose all these games, but, oh, he didn't have a line, his defense, his receivers, the coach, the managers, the owners. Come on, Houston fan, get it together.
We got a Deshaun. Hey, that's a hot take.
I don't see the connection there.
Well, they do have a bad line. They do have a bad running game.
And Deshaun's not basically controlling the organization like Harden was.
And he's not acting like Harden.
I like the fire, though. 713-572-4610. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
Yes, I think that this weekend is when we will finally get disclosure that aliens exist and that UFOs have been visiting Earth and that the governments on the planet have treaties that they've set up with the alien planets.
What just happened? What was that about?
Boy, that's some acid right there. I just watched the Kurt Cobain doc. Got a feeling him and Courtney Love might have had a good time in the bathtub with that. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
Yeah, I think that there's a better chance of me being the only winner of tonight's Mega Millions than of Eric Bieniemy becoming the head coach of the Texans.
Wow. long odds, huh, Ocho?
Don't you always feel disappointed when you buy a Mega Millions ticket and lose? It's really weird because there's no chance you're going to win, but you almost feel like you lost something that you could have controlled. Is that just me?
No, everybody's like, oh, didn't win it this time. I was really counting on that $980 million.
You're on the Think Tank. Go.
Go.
I think Bill Belichick sent Jack Easterby here as an undercover agent to kill us from the inside.
Well,
I've heard that before. Mm-hmm. I've heard people throw that out there. Jeez, we're just getting crazy here. It's like the X-Files. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think Deshaun Watson should stay because I love him so damn much. And me and John McClain should be yoga buddies. Thank
you. Oh, man.
Boy, you do. You look sexy as hell.
Yoga buddies with McClain. What would that be like?
What do you think McClain at this point in his life's most intense form of exercise, the most realistic intense form of exercise for John McClain, who's lost a lot of weight.
He does a big. He's a big walker. He walks like 5 miles.
That's as intense.
But you're saying like
that's all he do. I think that's all he do.
Could he up it a little bit?
But
though?
Like you're saying, if he were to decide,
if he wanted to push it as far as he could, if he wanted to push it as far as he could, 713-572-4610. If you want to get in,
what could
John McClain do?
I got the answer. I'll bet you he could play one game.
No. No, 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 no,
one game.
No, 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 no.
Poker?
No. One game.
No.
Of 3-on-3 half-court basketball.
Hell no.
Let's ask him.
Hell no.
One game to 11.
Absolutely not.
He used to play basketball. Oh, that's all he talks about when he was a kid. He was playing basketball.
Hell no.
I bet you he could go, like, he could stand.
You are drunk.
He could stand in the corner.
You're serious?
Yes. Yeah, stand in the corner and just pop a J, man.
I think water aerobics.
Well, that's easier than walking.
Water aerobics is where I'm going.
I mean, I'm not saying he would be, you know, he would have a first step, but he would get going and set a screen.
He would not. A little
behind the back pass. A little between the legs dribble.
Why don't they let John McClain shoot the first shot at the Rockets game?
He'd make it. He loves
it. They let Spencer Tillman do it.
Right. Right. One game.
Tillman Fertitta, if you're listening, seriously, please get John McClain to shoot the first shot at a Rockets game. Yeah. The
That's
celebrity
a great
first
point,
shot.
Landry.
Please.
Yep.
I would bet on him not hitting the rim.
Oh, he would make it. Nothing but the bottom of the net. You think I'm kidding? He could play one game of 3-on-3 half court?
You're on the think tank, go.
No, but I'm listening to this and just laughing. John McClain shooting from half court. Yeah, you might want to put him at the free throw line.
Yeah, that's where they shoot. They actually shoot a free throw.
That pregame thing is what we're talking about.
It is a free throw. He ain't shooting no half court. I can't believe you think he could play a 3-on-3 game.
He could.
You're on the think tank, go.
Yeah, this is George the Trucker. I think Watson needs to come out and say something because I'm already tired of my friends sending me clickbait from these national media types. It's tiring. I mean, come out and say something. He's being a damn diva.
I think a lot of people are starting to think the same way.
Yeah, I think Deshaun's still got the majority of the fan base, but I do think some people are a little bit tired of future lyrics and reports. I do think the national media types are pretty horny for Watson material as well. You're on the think tank. Go.
I think with Anthony Weaver gone and Tim Kelly staying, they already know that they're going to hire Frazier to be a defensive coach.
Yeah, I think I would have to say I agree with you. But, I mean, maybe they would make Tim Kelly, Eric Bieniemy would make Tim Kelly like the quarterback's coach and just, you know, do the grunt work there.
Grunt work? He's going to go back to doing grunt work?
That's what quarterback's coaches do.
713-572-4610. You're on the think tank. Go.
Hey, man, I think Eric Bieniemy needs to be the head coach and then hire Leslie Frazier as the defensive coordinator. Get both of them. Talk to you later. Bye.
I don't think you can do that. It would be a vertical move. I don't know what Frazier's contract is.
I know
is.
You're watching the same film I watch. Come on now.
I don't think you could do that. I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
713-572-4610. You're on the think tank. Go.
I think it's a damn shame this Texans team is in the shape it's in. But that being said, they're going to have to blow it up. They might as well trade Watson, trade Watt, and throw Merciless in there somehow, get some picks, and let's get this dadgum thing restarted and get the stench of dimple chin out of Houston.
You couldn't trade Merciless for a seventh-round pick with that contract.
No.
No chance.
But I'm with the idea.
You're on the think tank. Go.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Go.
Okay. I think.
Bro, you got to speed up the tempo a little bit, my man. You're on the think tank. Go.
I think that everybody who works at ESPN is stupid because you guys are the best.
Thank you.
All right.
And I do appreciate your phone call, and I wish you the best. I hope you have a happy new year.
All right.
You're on the think tank. Go.
Hey, I think everybody should stop riding Deshaun Watson. Last time I checked, he played his last game, and he's on vacation. He's doing what he does in offseason, what he did last year. Everybody stay off his jock. Good Lord.
Man, Tony's going to come after you.
Yes, she is.
Tony will cut you if you start talking about Deshaun. You're on the think tank. Go. Go.
Hey, this is the Coco Slanga. Yeah. And I think that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win. But I wish, what I wish for is that the Buffalo do win only because of the defense and that Bienemy will still look good so that we can go ahead and still get him as the head coach.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it matters if they like Bienemy. If the offense even gets shut out, he's still going to get that. I mean,
this game doesn't matter on either one. They've made their decision already on who they want. I think they're trying to hammer it out.
Kyle Shanahan lost to the Patriots and Patricia still got hired. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter. They know who they want, we think. What do you think? You're on the think tank. Go.
Man, everybody in Houston need to calm down, man. It ain't Deshaun Watson's place to be trying to give everybody an answer. They need to go on chill out. Remember the Rockets? Remember Akeem Olajuwon asked for a trade? Look how that turned out because they kept him. Everybody need to calm down.
Oh, no, we're with you on that, man.
We're with you. We
absolutely want to keep him.
We want him. You're on the think tank. Go.
I think after the game on Sunday, Bienemy is going to want to talk to Deshaun, and Deshaun is going to be on board, and Bienemy is going to be the head coach.
There we go. Wouldn't mind it. You're on the think tank. Go.
I think that Elon Musk should buy the Texans and name them the Apollos.
You're on the think tank. Go.
Man, all these reports are things we had from the Falcons about the interview with Bienemy doing bad in the interview, and then I go up there and see Dan Campbell's press conference afterwards with the Lions. There is no way in hell that Bienemy did a worse interview with the Falcons than whatever Dan Campbell presented
Dude,
the Lions.
You are preaching to the choir. My gosh.
Dan Campbell's going to be a legend.
You should have seen him try to answer questions. He's already a legend. There's a lot of legends.
Yeah. A good legend.
No. He is a absolute meathead. Yeah, Freddie
Kitchens legend.
That guy. You're on the think tank. Go.
Am I up?
Yep.
You're on.
I think J-Lo had it right yesterday when he said Frasier was one of the best shows also. And I think y'all just had Bro-Man from the fifth floor from Martin call in.
Bro-Man was such a mooch, man. Such a mooch. Frasier, I never liked it. I hated it. It might travel well with time because I was getting into Cheers before Diane left.
You'll like Frasier. Now give it another shot after you've seen Cheers. It's a little different, obviously, but
6 seasons deep with Cheers, but it's just not the same without Diane.
Yeah,
Christy Alley is a crappy actress, by the way. Can we just admit
that?
She
hasn't done a whole lot since.
She's awful. Yeah. You're on the think tank. Go.
Go.
Do a little more homework next time before you call us here.
You're on the think tank. Go.
Yo, I think a Bienemy ran offense could make Jordan Akins look like Kelsey.
All right, I'm not going to hear that. Kelsey. You're on the think tank. Go.
What's going on here?
Just chokes. You're on the think tank. Go. Go.
Hey, so I think the reason why Deshaun Watson has to answer his phone is because he's with Mia Khalifa again playing basketball.
Oh, my God.
Maybe McClain is the third.
What a report. We hadn't heard that from anybody.
No, nobody's talking about that.
You're on the think tank. Go.
I think that Jackie should go into hiding forever.
All right.
Let me just speak generally before we get into those types of specifics.
I think somehow Hank Aaron manages to be underrated.
Yes, you're right.
Extraordinary player.
Yes. That's truth right there.
3,700 hits, 755 home runs.
Very true.
I think he went a 10-year stretch of more than 20 stolen bases.
Very true. We'll take one more. You got the final word on the think tank. You better bring it. Go.
I think Landry needs to stop spoiling Cheers for all of us that are in the process of watching it.
Oh, dang it.
Dude, it's 30 years.
Diane's going to leave, though.
Yeah. You're just a bad radio person, Landry.
Diane's going to leave. Man, you're laughing. That was pretty hurtful, too, by the way. I thought that was pretty bad. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. That's the think tank. 713-572-4610 if you still want to get in. Talk some championship weekend. Talk Texans. Bienemy versus Leslie. EBBDE versus Leslie Wisdom next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.